I'm not afraid to hear the evidence. I hope that the city of Beverly Hills and the school district of Beverly Hills will not be reluctant to hear the evidence and make their own judgments at that time. It may be that at the end of the day, the board will decide, or we'll all decide that Santa Monica is the best approach. But I don't think at this point in time I can make, it would be fair to make that decision. I want to make just two other comments. The real estate interests in Century City will be quite well served whether, in terms of their property value increases, whether the station is at Santa Monica or at Constellation. All of the real estate interests in Century City, just like the real estate interest in Beverly Hills, where the stations will be enhanced as a result of the subway coming there. It's one of the collateral impacts of a good public works project. So I wouldn't hang a lot of weight on that being a real estate decision. The fact is, and I met with Mr. Goldman and several of his colleagues in the neighborhood for quite a while a couple of months ago, and I'll say now what I said then: the distance between Santa Monica and Constellation is one very long block. It's not the block that goes from my house to the next street. It's close to a quarter of a mile long, 2/10 of a mile long block. The statistics, the studies that you guys have put forward, and it stands to reason that it would come out this way, that there's a greater ridership if you place the station in the middle of Century City than at the edge of Century City. If you put it at Santa Monica, half of the adjacency is a golf course. The other half is Century City. If you put it at Constellation, you're right in the middle, as close to the middle of the density, both residential and commercial density, primarily the commercial density, that you can be in Century City. So there is a value in looking at this, and there is a value to the MTA if it can be done safely, and if it can be done without impacts to what the school district has, and that's what my motion is aims to address. I do want to ask you, David, one question. Are you aware, has the city or the school district of Beverly Hills talked to you about their plans for rebuilding the high school and their administrative buildings and the testimony we heard today?
Only verbally. We haven't seen plans or designs, but we've certainly heard about the dollar amount that they plan to invest and the types of underground structures that they would like to be able to build.
Well, I think it's very important, and it should be very important to all of us, that we do nothing that would, by virtue of our putting a tunnel there, prevent them from doing what they need to do and what their voters have voted on. And I think they've had a bond issue, is that correct, in Beverly Hills? So is not to frustrate their plans to do that. Now, there may be a way in which, and I know that they've already made up their mind, I respect that, but leave that aside for a second. If there are ways to build our project in a way that doesn't conflict with them, I think that should be the guidepost as you go forward between now and the FEIR. I think it's critical. I don't want to support anything that would run a tunnel right through the middle of their proposed parking garage, thus rendering their whole school redevelopment project moot. It's not a good policy for us as one governmental agency dealing with another governmental agency. But I also can't believe that there aren't ways for the two to coexist. The second thing I want to ask is on the issue of the depth. I think everybody knows that Beverly Hills High School actually sits on a hill, on an elevated above the surface streets on which its address is, and so that actually the top of the tunnel, as it goes under the southern tip of the main building of the school, the current main building of the school, is 80 feet. Is that my
track level is about that depth?
Track level is 80 feet, and in the top of the tunnel would be 60 feet or something like that deep under the school. So it is reasonably deep. And but I do think we need to have the geotechnical people do what Eisenstein did for us on the subway to North Hollywood, which is do the kind of rigorous analysis that will stand up under the scrutiny of the city and school district of Beverly Hills. Forget us. They need to be, they'll be the judge more than we will. So I want to get that kind of an analysis that, you know, what are the, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being least likely to have a problem, where do we fall into this? We don't want any subsidence. We don't want any sinkholes. We don't want any vibration. We don't want any of those things that people associate with underground activity, especially because of the experience we had when we first built the subway in Hollywood, which was a one-time, a big mess, but it was a one-time mess, and we've gotten a long way from there. The last thing I want to ask is, and I've had my staff ask it, I want to make it public here. I think one of the things you guys need to look at is whether the tunnel can be moved as it comes out of Beverly Hills, assuming you're going towards Constellation, and instead of going under any part of the existing school building, and I don't know what the new school facility is going to look like, so I apologize for that, but assuming there was never going to be a new school building, and this was what we see is what we get, it's not that far from where the southern tip of the school building is now, under which your proposed tunnel will go. To move it south some number of yards, tens of yards, whatever it would be, to get it out from under any part of any building in the school. If it's not of any significant cost consequence, but it can raise the confidence level of open-minded people, then I think it certainly would help. In my case, I don't believe that it's absolutely necessary. I know that we have subways under homes, and I want to say that this subway is going to go under dozens of homes between Santa Monica and Wilshire, and the same issues that apply here apply there. But this second alternative that you've proposed, the so-called Lasky, I think we call it in our office, the Lasky alternative, goes under four residential structures, and it skirts a couple of them, and it goes under a couple of them, if my memory serves me correctly, and it goes under the southern end of the high school. It does not go under Good Shepherd, and I don't know if there's a couple of commercial buildings that it goes under, but
between Charleville and Wilshire, there's a few commercial buildings as well.
It's a de minimis number of properties under which it goes, and it was far superior to the other Constellation alternative, which went under, you know, several dozen or however many it was, homes. So let's consider what I've just said, the preamble, and what I want to do is ask I want to add to this action today that we move that that during the final environmental impact statement EIR preparation, staff fully explore the risks associated with tunneling under the high school, including but not limited to the risk of settlement, noise, vibration, risk from oil wells on the property, impact to the use of the school as an emergency evacuation center, which is one of their plans, and overall risk to students, faculty, and the community. And I also want to include in that that you analyze yet another alternative route of moving the tunnel south so it's clear of any school buildings. May go under the school property, but clear of the school buildings. And bearing in mind that I want you to also factor in what their plans are, if their plans have advanced that far at this point, so that we're not getting in the middle of their plans. I really think that's an important thing. And lastly, I want the staff to work closely with the community, with the city of Beverly Hills and the Board of Beverly Hills Unified School District, and provide them with the information these analyses become available. I've also suggested, that's the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. I also wanted to suggest to the city of Beverly Hills and to the school district, and maybe you guys can pool together. I was told that the city already has a geotechnical consultant on board. I don't know whether that's the case or not, but I would suggest that you get a consultant on board, not to do a study, but to critique our study. It wouldn't cost a huge amount of money, I just think that it would help us, I think, to catch things that we may overlook, our people may overlook, and it certainly, I think, would be of value to the two agencies and to the residents of Beverly Hills. That's, and lastly, since I represent these folks, and I think I'm the only one.
No, I am too. My city.
Your city, but they don't vote for you.
No.
They have.
And I take them seriously.
You should take them seriously. Look, my wife was born and raised in Beverly Hills. I get an earful all the time. So it's, I want to make it clear to everybody who's here from Beverly Hills, and I've said this to some of your council members on this, I'm going to take a very hard and objective look at this. If we can't satisfy the safety concerns and the redevelopment of the high school concerns that you have, then I'm not going to support going this route. But I'm not prepared to make that decision today because I don't think any of us have enough evidence on that. It's just our gut. You have your gut instincts. Others may have other gut instincts. I think we need geological evidence, geotechnical evidence, and we can get that. And then at the end of the day, we may decide to scrap it anyway. But I don't think any harm is done in the next 10, 12 months as we do this to have those two options before us. And it's not a done deal. I don't think anybody here should assume it's a done deal. And the city and school district of Beverly Hills has plenty of leverage with the MTA if it chooses to. But I would encourage you to work with us, don't agree with us, but at least keep an open mind and listen and watch what we're doing and help us out. And then we'll in the months ahead, we'll come to a final decision. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Director Katz.
One more question for our staff. Has Beverly Hills presented you with architects' plans and drawings for their school expansion or their school plans? Are those plans in existence at this point?
We don't believe that there are, but we would certainly be happy to look at whatever early plans there are. So far, all we've received is site condition surveys, but nothing showing new development on the property.
So a bond measure passed, and there's money to do a remodeling or rebuilding, but it hasn't gone as far as architect's drawings, at least as far as you know.
We're not aware that has, no.
Okay, but I understand your question, but the fact that they don't have them doesn't mean that they aren't going to do it. They do have a voter-approved bond issue in Beverly Hills, correct?
Yes.
When was that approved? What year?
2 years, 2008.
Okay, so it's relatively recent. We had our measure passed in November 2008, and we haven't built anything yet either. So
we did Canoga.
We did Canoga.
Yeah, we did Canoga.
Goal line. Let's not forget the goal line.
We haven't built it yet. It's just starting. But they, I think they can give us kind of a parameter of what they, you know, within reason, what their footprint needs to be so that we know if we want to be outside their footprint, underneath and outside their footprint, what that footprint is. And I think that's something they need to help us with.
Or the flip side of that is, if they don't have their footprint yet, their design yet, which is where I was trying to figure out, and we have a subway route, they can also design around that.
Yeah, it's probably harder for them to design around a tunnel if the tunnel is smack in the middle of what they want to do. No. This is not a discussion that we need to have here, right. But it's
the
kind of discussion that we need to have in a rational, intelligent environment over the next few months so that we can answer these questions. They may not be answerable, but I think that your question is a legitimate one, but I think the answer is we need to find a way for these two projects to coexist.
Right, that's where I was going.
Yeah. And if we can. That's a precondition of even going forward with it.
Okay. Director Katz, are you finished?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, we do have Director Fasana.
Yes, a couple questions. Can I see, is there a picture on the map of the east, the west, and the south options from Century City to Westwood?
Let me try to go back here.
This is Century City to Westwood.
Okay, so these are the three options, you would call them east, south, and west?
Right.
Okay. The other question I have is in terms of where the Santa Monica Boulevard station would be and the portion running along Santa Monica Boulevard, is that right on the fault? Are there concerns as we study these options about whether we should be going perpendicular to a fault rather than on the fault?
And I'll let Dr. Martin jump in at any time. He's our senior member of the Tunnel Advisory Panel. But just to give some planning context for this, when we started this study about 18 months ago, we were aware that there was the Santa Monica Fault in the somewhere just to the north of Santa Monica Boulevard. And starting in January, we went out and did geotechnical testing, sonic testing. We actually did quite a bit of original geotechnical work to try to locate that fault and get a better location for it. As of June, we had identified that it had moved. It actually was a little bit further south than we thought and was under Santa Monica Boulevard. But I think I'd want to, at this point, let Dr. Martin answer about further work that we need to do to locate where it is in relationship to the actual station box.
I guess what I'm wondering is, are we okay with just the west option, or because of seismic concerns, should we keep another option in play?
We have crossed this seismic faults before. When we went from Hollywood and Highland up to Universal City, we crossed the Santa Monica Fault just to the north of the Hollywood and Highland Station, perpendicular to that fault. And, of course, faults are different, have different characteristics. We were able to cross the fault perpendicular at that location. We do have concerns about running parallel to a fault for any length of time, and a lot of it has to do with the characteristics of that fault. And we don't know enough about this fault right now to be able to say if it's safe to do it or we can actually do it. But we do have concerns the longer you're exposed to it, the length along the fault, that's a much more serious concern than crossing it perpendicularly.
So the only area where we're going parallel to it is if we put the Santa Monica station there, we're parallel for a short distance before we turn off of it?
That's a correct statement, yes.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I think that is something we need to see more of. As we discuss the issues of Beverly Hills, we also need to understand what happens if we're parallel to the, or maybe even on the fault along Santa Monica.
Our tunnel advisory panel is going to be looking very, very carefully and directing our consultants' work in this area so that if we come back with a recommendation to build a Santa Monica station, we absolutely have to be able to ensure that it's going to be safe and could be operating.
Not only the station, but the track even coming out of the station.
Tunneling and the station,
still
yes.
Still be along the fault.
Yeah, so we have some work to do before we could make that recommendation.
Thank you.
One question. How long and where, do you know exactly where the fault is that parallels the Santa Monica Boulevard route?
Dr. Martin, do you want to chime in at this point?
Yes, we started working on this problem in the past year as part of the Advanced Conceptual Engineering Studies, and we've done two geophysical surveys and a series of boreholes to get continuous core. So we're starting to get a better handle on exactly where the fault is, slightly south of the Santa Monica Boulevard. But we still have more work to do.
Slightly south and between where and where?
Let me just explain the complexity of the Santa Monica Fault, if I may, because I don't know what concept you have of what a fault is, but the Santa Monica Fault is what's called a reverse thrust shear fault. It's quite complicated. Basically, the fault line dips to the north. So here you have Santa Monica Boulevard. Here you have the trace of the fault where the fault plane hits the surface. So the fault plane dips to the north. The fault is a reverse thrust fault, so the fault actually moves upwards, heaves upwards on that fault plane, as well as moving horizontally, like the San Andreas Fault, a shear fault. So it's quite complicated, as you can imagine. So you get a heave, an uplift, and a shear movement. So when we talk about the trace of the fault, we mean where that plane intersects the surface. So if it intersects the ground surface north of the Santa Monica Boulevard, then that's good because all the movement is occurring north of the Santa Monica Boulevard. If it intersects south of the Santa Monica Boulevard, which unfortunately is what we're finding right now, all the heave and the shear is taking place in the vicinity of Santa Monica Boulevard itself.
And so my question is, what is the easternmost point where you find this and the westernmost point where you find this along the boulevard?
Well, that's
far east of Century Park.
Right, we're still investigating. There's only two transects which we've done so far. One is slightly west of the proposed Santa Monica Boulevard station, and one is further west, where we're focusing more on where the tunnel was actually going to cross the fault. We haven't done a transect exactly where the Santa Monica station is right now, because it appears, if you look at the figure, that the fault line suddenly takes off and moves north. The original, I think in the draft EIR, it appeared that the fault line started to move north just before the station location, but it appears to us now, because the trace is slightly south of Santa Monica Boulevard, that it might perhaps even potentially intersect the proposed location of the station. So this is where we stand right now. So as part of the preliminary engineering phase, we plan to do more field investigations to more closely understand the mechanics of the fault and where it actually is in the vicinity of the station.
So this green thing on the map, is that the fault?
Yes. Here you can see
the estimate of where you think the fault
is. Well, that's where it was in the draft environmental impact report. That was based on some earlier studies, or based on topography more than anything else. That the fault in that area is just not well understood. There's been some trenching done historically in the 1990s at the VA site, where we understand what's going on with the fault in that area, but we're trying to define exactly what's going on in the station location and the crossing locations from the standpoint of the crossing designs in particular.
So just in the interest of time here, this green depiction of the fault is as of the draft environmental
impact
you
report.
Still have more,
right.
You still have more.
But we've got more work. Right. We've done some preliminary work,
we're gradually
getting a better understanding of the fault and its characteristics. And we've still got more work to do in the PE phase. Okay. Once we've done that work, we'll have a better understanding of where we stand in terms of safety issues.
Is that the preferred? I mean, I can't tell what's east, west, or south on all these. Is the preferred one the one that runs along the fault? Is that the west?
Original proposal that they made was the one that's along Santa Monica Boulevard.
Okay.
The proposal that they subsequently made was to take it to Constellation Avenue, which is
Is there a pointer that shows what we're?
Yeah, why don't you show?
That's Constellation. This is Santa Monica Boulevard and Avenue of the Stars.
Of these three, you're deleting the east and the south. So which one would be going forward?
The stations, we're going to continue to study both stations, but then the question is, how do you get from either of these stations over to Westwood? And we're recommending that this east alignment be the one that's selected to go to either one of these two stations.
Okay. So you're recommending the east and the south and the west?
Right, so the east would just connect to either, whichever station was selected.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion?
I'm done.
So we have the motion, the staff recommendation as amended by Supervisor Yaroslavsky. This would be going to the full board. Is there any objection? No objection. That moves on forward to the full board. Okay, with that, we will move on to item number 8, which has to do with office space to provide integrated project management office.
I'm conflicted on this.
Okay. Supervisor Yaroslavsky is conflicted on that. Do we have a brief staff report?
Ms. Perilla's on. That's down three.
Okay. Thank you all.
You're going to start
doing a shifting?
Sure. Okay.
Got to go here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Dennis Morey. I'm the Executive Officer of Construction Project Management, and I'll be presenting this item number 8. And the subject is the lease for the Integrated Project Management Office, and the action is to approve a lease agreement for 777 Figueroa Street. And just briefly,
Sure, go with item. I have one speaker. Mr. Williams, do you want to speak on this? Mr. Williams?
Did you want to have a speaker first? That's fine with me.
Oh, you can. I don't see him, so why don't you go with your question.
Here's my question. Why, since it's... All right, go ahead.
Okay, come on, Mr. Williams. Why don't we have your input, and then we can have the question, and we'll keep moving.
Dr. Claude Williams, El Sereno. Why do we need this at all?
don't we have other cheaper space that's existing? I don't know. You do have supposedly a PMIS system, which is usually independent of the location. You can have it anywhere. So I would suggest that you look at an alternative site that's much cheaper and even perhaps remote from the location, because most of the project management is digital, electronic now. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. And my question was, why would we, with the project so close to the MTA building, why would we lease space on Figueroa instead of having the project teams here?
Okay, first of all, to answer that question, I believe that as far as the occupancy of this building, I think we have most of the floors are being occupied, and we have other functions that will be coming into this building in the near future. Good. When the workforce is up and running for the Westside Extension, for example, this covers two projects. We expect that we will have a peak workforce of consultants only of about 100 people. And then on the regional connector, we expect to have about 50 people, and then combine MTA staff and some third-party staff, another 50. So at the peak during this PE period, which is about a year to a year and a half, you combine two projects, we'll have to find a place for 200 people total. One of the advantages of having an integrated project office, for example, right now on the I-405 Sepulveda Pass project, there is an office building near their site. It's an office building. And because these are primarily design build contracts, your workforce changes over a period of time. So, and also on the east side project, we had an integrated project management office in two locations. So what we're trying to do here is, the advantage to this, and the gentleman brought up the PMIS, it is much better for us to do direct management of our consultants, because overall what that does is that reduces our soft costs, because we have day-to-day hands-on management. So in this particular case, David Meager is in charge of planning. As we go into the PE on the West Side Extension, I would be taking over PE, and I would be co-located overseeing our consultant staff.
I think, Mr. Leahy, you wanted to add something?
I think the overall notion is to have project offices for all of our big projects, independent of whether this building is full or not.
That's correct.
And so, because we've learned over the years with projects, it's good to have your team together in one building. Why this location as opposed to not further west?
Well, it's in this particular case, this would be covering both the regional connector and the West Side Extension. And in the board item, we do show that we did go out as far as the Wilshire Western location. And one of the criteria for the office selection was, of course, having contiguous floors, and also we wanted to be close to a Red Line station stop, because we want to encourage all of the consultants and employees to use the Red Line. So that said, if we had a subway station further out to the west, we would have gone and looked a little bit further.
All right, fine. I asked the question. I got an answer. It's costing us $500,000. Is that correct?
Yes. And if I may say something, as part of the board item, we talk about this board item, the approval being contingent upon the approval of the two other consultant contracts that have been presented today. And the reason for that is that because within the consultant negotiated amounts, they included office lease space within their project overhead expense rate. So when we, if we're able to get this item approved, we are in some cases actually getting the lease space for a lower cost than what our consultants can get it for, and then there will be an adjustment to their project overhead expense rate. So we won't be paying twice for this. So when we obtain this space, we will be able to control the lease for multi-years, and that will provide us the flexibility of taking the project all the way through to construction to meet the 3010 plan.
I'm not going to argue. The question seemed to me that 777 Figueroa is pretty close to the address here, and why would we not do it here? But I've heard what you've said, and I understand there's team building and such that goes on, and that's fine. And frankly, I had not thought about the location of the STS. So having said that, again, thank you for the answer, and I will move the item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, and without objection, that is approved by this committee. So we'll move on to item number 9, which has to do with the Metro Grade Crossing Policy. And I guess I do have one question. I believe there was an analysis that I didn't see as part of this, having to do with a
the Park Mesa Heights grade separation analysis. So for me, it's a little hard, independent of that, and being that we're running late, perhaps that could come back to us next month. With
can we just move it to the full board?
Or we can move it to full board either way.
Okay.
Okay. Will that analysis be part of what the full board gets?
I certainly plan on sharing that with the full board and making a recommendation from the staff at that time.
Okay, great. So we're going to move that, then we'll just move that to the full board. The next question then, so that's done. Items 10 and 11 are receive and file. Committee, we've had a long meeting. What's your pleasure?
To
hear the reports or to? Oh, we're receiving and filing them like that. We have comments on those, so if we're going to.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
I want to hear 10 in particular.
Item number 10 has to do with the bicycle program, and why don't I go to the public speaker, Dr. Clyde Williams? Hang on. That's for item 11. Sorry. Item 10 is Stephen Box. Mr. Box, you're still here? Our bike guy. Here's Mr. Box.
Stephen Box, thank you very much. I live in Hollywood, very close to the Hollywood and Vine Metro Station, which is referenced in this report. But the report inaccurately refers to the installation of bike racks, which hasn't taken place. I would be disappointed if this report proceeded inaccurately because it inadvertently codify something that hasn't happened or a plan for something that hasn't been proposed and vetted by the public. So whether they're installed between now and when it goes forward, all I can say is we haven't seen the plan. There has been some significant discussion about where these bike racks shouldn't go, but they have not yet been installed, and that particular report then is inaccurate. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. That concludes the public input, but this is an update, so that's a very good point, because this was to update the committee on the program, and that kind of input will help us as we move forward. We're not adopting anything. Director Fasano.
I just want to say I think some of this follows up on the motion the mayor made a month or so ago back as well. I think this is extremely exciting and a real opportunity in a lot of our areas to really gain additional value for the transit system. I think there's a lot of things being looked at here that really, we may want to start looking at enhanced bike facilities as a trade-off to all the parking that we seem to need to provide at a lot of our stations. This really expands the footprint around the stations. It could be great value to us. I mean, you could probably provide at no cost hundreds of these bikes for the cost of one parking space. So I think it's something we really need to look at. The folding bikes part, I think, is something we really need to look at as well. I think it offers a lot of potential to boost ridership in a cost-effective manner that really saves our investment in parking.
And I'll just add that it also point out that the working group is looking at other options, car sharing, other mobility options, again, for that first and last mile. So bicycles are a big piece of it, but there are other elements to make our stations and key transit areas stations work. Is there any other discussion? We had the motion to file. I'll second that. And without objection, that has been done. We will move on to then item 11, which is County Traffic Forum.
Receiving file the report.
Okay, why don't we hear from Dr. Clyde Williams as our public input? No, okay. Thank you. He's declining. So we will not have public input. We have a motion to receive and file. I'll second that. Director
Tom, and I appreciate the staff was able to bring this forward and not show any impacts to Gateway or San Gabriel Valley.
Then. Okay, so then without objection, that item has been received and filed. And then that brings us up to an update on,
what is it?
11. Okay, so 12 is construction status report on grade separation projects.
Okay, what do you want to do?
On the Alameda Corridor East.
Yes, Madam Chair. In short, item 12 is also a receive and file update.
will be presented also to the construction committee. We've been making great progress in the San Gabriel Valley, as well as on all the areas where we're doing our grade separations with the Alameda Corridor East. We noticed as staff that we had made a commitment to bring in front of you the report that you see periodically. It's been 8 months since we've been in front of you with this report, so we wanted to have a chance to put this in front of you. There's nothing near-term changing within the Alameda Corridor East project, although there's some great working on the San Gabriel Trench. That's the next big project we expect.
It's on time and on budget, right?
Yes, ma'am.
It's even file. Okay, thank you. We have Dr. Second. Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. We have experienced great improvement on the grid crossings on Valley and Alhambra Avenues. And we highly recommend that other people in the San Gabriel Valley get the benefits of these grade crossings on an accelerated basis. Can't you get more money for these? We know we have to get them done, and they've been sitting there for a long time. We have greatly benefited in El Sereno from the Valley crossing. So highly recommend. Can't you give them more money? Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Right. Thank you, Dr. Williams. Okay, we have a motion and a second to receive and file, and without objection, we've received it and filed it. Why don't we move on to item 13, which is an update on the regional rail matters.
Madam Chairman, I would suggest that we continue this.
That's fine. We will continue that.
Thank you.
And how about item 14, report of the CEO?
Madam Chair, just one quick thing. I was in Railvolution the last couple of days. Had a chance to speak with Congressman Blumenauer about our 3010 program and our highway acceleration program. I also met with a number of industry leaders on three different presentations to let them know about the discussions on innovative financing that LA is seeking to generate and asking them to support that initiative. With that, I'll conclude.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Leahy. Okay, we had a long meeting and with a lot of public comment, but I think we've accomplished something, and the board will follow up on this on Thursday. So we're adjourned. Thank you.